This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2227. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 25th, Antarctica, Argentina, Bangladesh, Canada, China, Clipperton, Cuba, Egypt, Ethiopia, France, Germany, Israel, Kurdistan, Malaysia, Mongolia, Myanmar, Netherlands, Oklahoma, Russia, Solomon Islands, Turkey, Ukraine, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. As we reported last week, LRA 36 Antarctica was not heard on its usual Saturday broadcast for January 13th, and it was still missing on January 20th, despite many checks I made for 6 hours that afternoon on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB into Argentine remote receivers. Meanwhile, there had been press reports that the new president of Argentina, Milei, was hostile to public entities and was planning to privatize such things in the government, such as Radio Nacional, which would include Radio Nacional Arcángel San Gabriel. Manuel Mendez in Spain has contacts at LRA 36 and in Argentina, and I asked him if he could find out exactly what the situation is. That was as of January 19th. He said that Juan Benavente, who was really running LRA 36 this past year, had already returned to Argentina. But there was nothing definite about closing the station permanently. It would probably return to the way it was operated previous years, resuming with a new crew once they had been trained. But then 2 days later, on January 21st, I got this from Manuel Mendez, as I translated. I asked Juan Benavente about the possible dismantling of LRA 36. He tells me and asks me to do so in his name, expressly name him in the following. First, Juan Benavente remains linked to LRA 36 through the Argentine Antarctic Command. Secondly, the rumors about the privatization of the Argentine National Radio are flatly false and self-serving, made by the Argentine political opposition, but repeat, they are flatly false. Third, LRA 36 not only is not going to disappear, it is not going to be dismantled, but on the contrary, enhanced, receiving new material, among which is the new 10-kilowatt transmitter. They are organizing to go on the air with the new season. So let us hope this point of view is correct and the previous one was not. In any event, be standing by for resumption on 15475.98 RCUSB Saturdays. It had been starting before 18 UT and running at least 6 hours. It's really not unusual for them to take a midsummer break, resuming in February or March. From AFP via BorneoBulletin.com via Mike Cooper, Australia's embattled public broadcaster names a new chair. Media veteran Kim Williams tapped ahead ABC, the Prime Minister announced, as the organization navigates a newsroom revolt over Gaza coverage. More than 200 union staff members backed a vote of no confidence in Managing Director David Anderson, accusing him of failing to defend the integrity of the ABC and its staff from outside attacks. Controversy prompted by the sacking of Australian-Lebanese radio host Antoinette Latouf for Gaza-related social media posts. In BCDX, Wolfgang Büschel unravels the Asian pileup on 4750 kHz, using remotes in Japan and Thailand. This was January 14th, between 1430 and 15 UT. There are three different signals, but on slightly different frequencies. Voice of Indonesia, 4749.837. Bangladesh, on 4749.945. And Hilar Nemengu, China, on exactly 4750. Programming changes on CBC Radio 1 from Ricky Leong in Calgary. An announcement published over a month ago, but flew under the radar. Searching for radio-related news, he found it on the CBC website about scheduling changes. A name change for The World at 6 and The World This Weekend, starting January 29th. The evening news program will be known as Your World Tonight, 7 nights a week. The current roster of hosts will continue to anchor the newscasts. Starting February 3rd, there's a new live national call-in program at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, just asking. It doesn't say what topics the show will cover. Also, host Mary Hines has retired, as her Sunday afternoon program Tapestry, which focused mainly on religion and spirituality, has also retired. Some China regional observations from Ron Howard upon Asilomar State Beach, California. Baibu Bay Radio, 5049.9, had not noticed them off frequency before. Saturday, January 20th at 1342 for 2 minutes, the very brief language program called One Word, One World. However, he was not sure this time what Asian language the lesson was in. Then on 5990, Shanghai News Comprehensive Broadcasting, that starts with a Q, January 24th at 1152. An ID via distinctive Tibetan chanting and singing, and currently parallel to 9850 with interference. And their website has not been updated for a very long time. On 6060, parallel 7225, Sichuan Ethnic Radio, January 24th at 1226 with the pop song Fernando and a clear ID in Mandarin and English at 1230. January 23rd at 1614, among several frequencies with CNR1 jammers from China, I found three of them extremely distorted. That's unusual. These were against Sound of Hope or U.S. broadcasts. These were 15760, 13590, and 11775. Could that be deliberate? It makes the jamming more effective, but is a stain upon Chi-Com engineering quality. For those not knowing, those frequencies are really only to jam. Ron Howard explains how to differentiate CNR1 jammers from their victims. People often make mistaken assumptions. He says, it's always been fun for me to tie down if a station is really Sound of Hope or the jammer. A few suggestions based on my years of observations. A positive way is to listen to the top of the hour. CNR1 programming always has time pips, while Sound of Hope never has any. Or find a known CNR1 frequency, non-jammer, such as 6125, and check to find if it is parallel to the station in question. Sound of Hope is a religious station. It has a more refined format. At top of hour, it usually has news and a lot of monologues. It's rather rare to hear music. While the CNR1 format is fairly contemporary, many short segments, often with music, in general has a much more upbeat format than SOH. After many years of listening to Sound of Hope, I find their audio slightly muffled, not a lot, but enough to be noticeable, especially when compared to the crisp audio of CNR1. It is not uncommon for Sound of Hope to be slightly off-frequency, while CNR1 is on the exact frequency, .00. Finally, if the station in question has fairly good reception, it almost certainly is CNR1 jamming. Sound of Hope stations are rather low-powered, and fairly good reception would be extremely rare. If you are fortunate enough to actually hear SOH, their top-of-the-hour ID is given twice, once by a man and then by a woman, and into the news, such as... Ron recorded that at 12 UT, March 11th, 2021, on 6215 kHz, probably one of their few higher-powered transmitters in Taiwan. Chuck Gessner draws our attention to the Ham Radio DX expedition to Clipperton Island, scheduled to last through the end of January. I heard it right away among the frequencies they're supposedly using on 24955, January 24th at 2317. You had to listen for 5 or 10 minutes, however, before hearing their own call sign given among very rapid pro forma contacts, Tango X-Ray 5 Sierra. The other frequencies they might appear on, but which I have not heard them, 28485, 21285, 18130, 14195, 7090, and 3790. Those are SSB. They also have CW, RIDI, and FT8. Details at this website. clip.pdxg.net. Martin in Arizona reports on January 25th, after a long absence from the HF bands, we caught a Cuban number station in progress at 0845 UT on 11635, a strong signal. The familiar HM01 type, mixing digital data transfers with synthesized voice. Of course, we imagine the number stations are having the same transmitter problems as Radio Havana Cuba. In fact, the same transmitters. Speaking of which, some comments from Ken Zicke in Michigan. I continue to marvel at the vast difference in bandwidth and quality of modulation today. Many stations just get it and put out nice signals consistently. Others, like Cairo and Havana, can't seem to figure out what they're doing and put out horrible-sounding stuff. It's a toss-up to me whether the stations just don't care, or if they don't know how to fix it, or if the equipment is broken and they don't have the funds to fix it, or if there's some other reason why this continues to be unaddressed. I mean, clearly it can be done, as many others are doing it. Shoot, even pirates have better-sounding signals. But yet it seems there are a large number of people in the business who want things to fail for whatever reason and just do not want to address the issue. Is it money? A desire to see it fail? Disinterest? Incompetence? The boss doesn't look, so who cares? Hard to say what the real reason is. I used to believe that one should never ascribe to malice that which can adequately be explained by incompetence. But I'm wondering now. Speaking of which, Egypt is conveniently next in our alphabet. Radio Cairo's English broadcast at 21:15. On January 23rd, there was no signal at all. It might have been on 9439.995. The next day, January 24th, there was a 25/9 signal, but it was just barely modulated and suppressed and distorted. It may have been English, and much lower than usual, on 9439.931, measured at U20. Something's egregious in Egypt. Ethiopian on January 19th at 1610. I was hearing Horn of Africa music on 17575. Nothing listed at any time in Aoki or IB on that frequency, but it's in HFCC and the WRMI schedule grid as Oromia Public Media on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday only at 16 to 1630 via France. WRTH says their headquarters are in a tiny town in Pennsylvania, hard to find on a map, Eagleville. And here's another clandestine for Ethiopia. On 17640 via France, radio 1888, the numbers, I'm not sure what that signifies, heard January 18th at 1705 to 1730 in Amhara by Tony Pavick in British Columbia, a voice of the Amhara people, and also heard by Vince Henley in Washington State on January 21st at 1709 to 1721. And another clandestine via France is the Radio Republica on behalf of RMI. The frequency is always slightly on the high side, 9490+. However, January 22nd at 0419, the frequency was still on the air, but dead air. Little if any jamming. And also January 23rd at 0346, 10/9 of dead air with hum on that frequency, again failing to turn it off at 0300 when Radio Republica finishes. Hubsing's incompetent at Isudun. But that's not their only problem. From Kurzwellen Radio website, a French gendarme was injured at Saint-Astrilla near Isudun at 1:30 early Sunday morning, January 21st, when he and his colleagues intercepted an alleged attempt to steal copper in the area of the French shortwave transmitter site. The suspects intentionally drove into the gendarmerie car. The injured officer's colleagues then found one man in the car of the suspects and arrested him, others at large. Copper theft has happened at transmission sites before. The suspects may have been inspired by a similar theft at the KITX radio tower in Oklahoma, about which more to come. From ClassicPoint.net, via Mike Terry. Bavaria's prime minister has rejected a possible increase in broadcasting fees in Germany, instead suggesting savings for public broadcasters. For example, the number of radio orchestras could be reduced from 24 to 12. At least 20 radio and TV stations could be abolished or combined. Saarland and Bremen could be merged into multinational broadcasters. 5 out of 10 specialty TV channels could be saved. Via David Crawford, a January 22nd story from Allgemeiner.com. Israel's AM radio pierces Gaza tunnels in bid to soothe hostages. What are the frequencies, Kenneth? The story never gets around to mentioning them, but we know they're 945 and 1287 kilohertz of Galeed Saham. After conquering a Hamas tunnel in the northern Gaza Strip, a group of Israeli soldiers went down to descend to a level where they could no longer receive AM transmissions from Israel. This was about 10 to 12 meters depth, generally at the upper stories of Palestinian terrorist subterranean network. Some of the 132 hostages are believed to have transistor radios and might be able to hear these broadcasts. via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2227. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week to Christopher Campbell in Ohio, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com, and a box of equipment to Glenn Hauser, PO Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Chris says, I try to send support on a regular basis. I use your IO group, radio show, or weekly roundup on a daily basis. Your information is priceless. The Kurdo-Turkish radio war jumps around various frequencies in the low end of 11.5 megahertz. 11530 was heard by Ron Howard in California, January 25th after 1505 UT. But was it Dengagel or the Erdogan-Turkish jammer? Wolfgang Dusche was also monitoring and says, Erdogan jamming against Dengagel program 11530.007 at 1627 UT. The two are not always on the same frequency. A publicity release says Malaysia has refurbished its two remaining shortwave transmitters. Ron Howard replies, I guess we'll have to accept this as good news, but I find it very sad that RTM has scaled back its shortwave offerings since the site was founding. Years ago, they had a good number of shortwave stations. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard also reports, the Voice of Mongolia, always off frequency, 12084.87. Midway through the English half hour at 0913, January 23rd, but with CODAR interference and hard to make out much. Ron Howard also reports Myanmar radio on the alternate frequency of 5919.0, January 20th, at 1040, but fading up for good reception by 1055. From the website of Radio Delta in the Netherlands, an exciting lineup of programs for Sunday, January 28th. Starting at 06 UT, the Finnish Request Show on 6110. At 09, Radio Delta goes DX. At 10, change frequency to 12030 for the program Five Decades of Music. And they're also testing on the 20-meter band, working towards broadcasting on that band in the future. I hope they don't actually mean within the amateur band. Kari Kallio replies, we, the Finnish listeners, have been supporting art from the beginning in a good cycle. No coincidence, one of the cornerstones of the radio station is still the record request concert, Finnish Request. My local Enid X-Band station on 1640 KZLS was off the air from January 21st to 25th, allowing us to hear some other stations on 1640. KZLS itself is hard to hear in Europe or down under because of its directional pattern, north-northwest, south-southeast, to reach Oklahoma City. Via Ted Holman in Minnesota, a story from ScriptsNews.com. Copper thieves bring down 500-foot Oklahoma radio tower. Thieves made off with several hundred dollars worth of copper, but left over $500,000 worth of damage. This story refers to it only as K95.5 in Choctaw County, but it's really KITX in Hugo, Oklahoma. Radio World had two more stories about this with illustrations of the damage, and then of the thieves who were arrested when they tried to sell the copper scrap. WWDXC-DX magazine, we see details of the WRN Russian schedule now relayed on 12095 via UAE. So this is filed under Russia non. At 15 to 1528, it's International Radio Prague. At 1530 to 1559, a variety. On Monday, it's Bolt. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Kaleidoscope WRN. Friday, Sayings. Saturday, Radio Panorama. That's a DX program. Sunday, UN the Week. At 16 to 1620, Radio Japan. 1620 to 29, it is time to talk about a different topic every day. Monday, UNESCO Weekly. Tuesday, Society and Wellness. Wednesday, Human Rights. Thursday, Research and Discovery. Friday, Weather and Climate. Saturday, Markets and Sunday, Science. And then 1630 to 1658, it's Radio Slovakia International. Ron Howard in California says, Cuba remaining silent on 5025 helps Solomon Islands reception on 5020. January 20th, it was greatly extended past its normal sign-off at 1200, heard until 1400, playing non-stop pop song but a weak signal. From the Isle of Wight, Alan Holder reports on Voice of Turkey. The English service letterbox program returned on Sunday, January 21st. Last time he heard it was August of 2020, after many requests by myself and others, no doubt, pleased to hear it return to the air. Also, there were a few changes to the weekly English language program lineup from January 15th, with That's Why and the Energy Agenda being new. They're also repeating the series Turkish Folk Tales, heard a while ago, and now have a weekly sports roundup. That is, if they manage to be on the air to North America at 23 on 5960 and 04 on 6125. Ricky Long forwards a story from the New York Times on January 20th. As missiles strike, a radio station broadcasts the rage of a battered city. Kharkiv in northern Ukraine is under almost daily bombardment. Radio Boiling Over serves as a megaphone for residents' fears and frustrations. Walt Salman of NBC says, "This is an absolutely wonderful station from Kharkiv, Ukraine. I've been listening all evening. The programming is fantastic with great music, both in Ukrainian and English, and the fidelity is superb. My new favorite online radio station, and here's the website to get it, radio.nakypilo.ua. Via David Cole, info about a book published last year, Behind the White House Curtain, a senior journalist story of covering the president and why it matters. That is by Stephen L. Herman, chief national correspondent for VOA, weaving together memoir and history to pull back the curtain on the inner workings of the White House Press Corps. For more about it, go to www.kentstateuniversitypress.com and look for the title Behind the White House Curtain. Bill Tilford says, "I visited the VOA Museum near Cincinnati last fall. Definitely worth the trip. The website has a lot of fascinating free downloadable articles as well. It's voamuseum.org. Shortly after recording last week's World of Radio, I heard again from George McClintock of WTWW, saying that he thought he had found a way to repair the heat exchanger, which was broken by freezing water, so he might not be off the air as long as anticipated. Keep an ear on 5085. From Andrew Braid of the Medium Wave Circle, 1180 WHAM Rochester, New York, has suffered a transmitter failure, and on 9 January requested special temporary authority to operate at 10 kilowatts instead of 50, non-directional day and night. While the station awaits replacement parts, expected to be on reduced power for a period exceeding 30 days, which is why they needed to apply for the SDA. That means it's even less of a factor against the Cuban radio war on 1180. RadioInc.com, January 18th, had a story. New NAB report shows AM radio's unrivaled power in a crisis. But Bob Geddes, the E3UTA, replies, as a longtime AM radio supporter, "It seems to me the sports stations, religious stations, syndicated talk, rock, and country stations all just carry on as if nothing is happening. I don't think AM stations are set up or structured for on-site emergency coverage as they once were. The emergency use of AM is rather a red herring, but a useful front for Republicans who want to preserve AM's utility for conservative right-wing talk as propaganda. This is another case where Republican lawmakers are only too happy to interfere with market forces. The media scene and ethos, particularly radio, is very different in North America compared to Europe." That was in the Medium Wave Circle, UK. Ben Cobb refers to a pirate report to Congress. PIRATE stands for Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement Act. The annual report to Congress for 2024 has been submitted according to obligations. It's now an FCC public document PDF. Ben Cobb responds, "The report claims that pirate radio broadcasting is the unauthorized transmission of RF signals on frequencies in or adjacent to the FM and AM radio bands. In fact, the Pirate Act excludes frequencies adjacent to these bands. None of the 90 records in the Pirate Enforcement Actions database cite any frequencies in the AM band or adjacent to the FM and AM bands. All are FM frequencies. Meanwhile, unlicensed station activities continue as usual. The report does not address the collection of any fines imposed on pirate operators. With few exceptions, most of the penalties imposed are, in FCC words, non-monetary." But another story about this with more detail in the desk.net for January via Mike Terry. FCC issued 3 fines, mailed 44 notices related to pirate radio broadcasts in 2023. The notices could have brought in tens of millions of dollars in penalties. FCC said it imposed the maximum allowable fine of over $2.31 megadollars against a pair of pirate radio operators in New York and an additional $80 kilodollar fine against a similar pirate in Oregon. FCC said it used money allocated through the Pirate Act to hire 4 full-time employees and purchase vehicles equipped with mobile direction finding equipment. More employees and vehicles are expected to come into the agency throughout this year. David Koenig of the excellent website Interval Signals Online says, after a turbulent 3 weeks, I have completed moving my website to a new hosting provider. And now with a safety certificate, so the URL has changed slightly. It is https://intervalsignals.net. Bruce Sportzer informs us that the January 2024 edition of his Pacific Asian Log, PAL, is now available. It can be downloaded from the Radio Heritage website, www.radioheritage.com. Click on one of the links in the home page. First issued in 2001, the PAL lists medium wave and domestic shortwave stations in southern and eastern Asia and the Pacific, about 4,500 stations in over 50 countries, with frequencies, call signs, locations, power, networks, websites, streaming audio, schedules, languages, formats, networks, and other information. Mike Cooper says, I've stumbled on a set of websites which display today's program schedules for broadcasters in a particular country on one browser page. For example, the French page is pretty comprehensive. It's myradioendirect.fr/program. And there are links to sites for other countries at the bottom of the page, such as Argentina, myradioenvivo.ar/programacion. Ken Zick in Michigan says, one of those persistent myths keeps coming back like a bad penny. No current IBOC radio also decodes analog AM stereo. That is, so-called in-band on-channel, the digital broadcasting system, still infesting some AM stations such as 1170 in Tulsa. He continues, from the best I can piece together, there were a few, one or two early IBOC radios that used a chipset that would also decode CQAM AM stereo, but which did not actually trigger the stereo light and reversed left and right channels, but sort of decoded AM stereo. This was never documented or listed as a feature, and given the decline in popularity, it was never pushed as a feature. Despite this, people still want to assert that IBOC radios also do AM stereo. They do not. IBOC is also called HD. Jack Amelar replies, the Sanjin HDT20 tuner will only output the HD signal if HD or IBOC is present. There is no provision to output the analog signal when HD is present. See the Wikipedia article under HD_radio for more detail. Ken Zicke replies, my car radio allows you to turn off HD, so analog is forced no matter what. Again, the Sanjian cannot do that. I wonder why. It's really a useful feature if a station is on the edge and HD keeps cutting in and out. Maybe they think that isn't as likely in a stationary radio. Keep an eye on DX Maps and an ear on your open FM channels. Over the past week, there have been some sporadic FMDX openings, yes, up into the FM band, rather unusual, perhaps caused by solar activity coronal mass ejections. So far, they've avoided me, but some Spanish on 92.1 could not have been from around here. SWPC, ANK indices were expected to peak at 35 and 6 on January 23rd. Only a lesser peak of 12 and 3 predicted for January 29th, otherwise 5 and 2 or 8 and 3. Reflux bottoming out at 155 January 29th and peaking at 195 by February 11th. Verbally, unsettled levels were expected on 29 to 31 January and again 17 February due to recurrent coronal hole high-speed stream activity. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week as I conclude World of Radio 2227 with a standard disclaimer.